Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Bro, wait, boo, I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
Yo, what's good, Knicks fans? I am Josh So Focused.
I'm French the Bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 83.
And this is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure you check us out at the website, KnicksTake.com.
And lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. But most importantly, share this with any Knicks fans who might enjoy the show. And now the show.
All right, so we
That's
have
the best we ever did the intro. Come on, man. Give it up.
It's the best you ever did the intro. Right, but anyway, yeah, we got a lot to talk about this week. A lot of interesting things have transpired for the New York Knicks.
It's an informative week.
It has been, I don't know how informative it's been, but it's been interesting. We made some predictions last week.
Yeah, it took some L's.
We were pretty wrong on most of them.
I mean, before we got to the Knicks, you ain't even going to ask me how my week was. Like,
originally I was going to do that.
But you don't care?
I'm not going to say that, but, you know. It's crazy. We got a lot to go into. I'm tired. But sure, quickly, how was your week?
I ain't do nothing this week. I just watched the Knicks.
This is why I didn't ask you. Because I was going to do that, you was going to do that, and then I was going to go into a long diatribe about how overworked I am and so tired, and that's why we might not be doing a long episode this week. So, but nobody wants to hear that part. So let's just get into the Knicks, which is what everybody comes here to listen to.
You're right.
All right. So as always, we are going to go into the games that the Knicks most recently played. We played against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Miami Heat, the Sacramento Kings, a game that me and French both attended.
As well as our producer, Caesar.
And we had one more game against the Chicago Bulls.
Oh.
And then we're then going to go into the weekly preview where we preview the upcoming games. We're not going to do a topic of the week. We're not going to do our Knicks take of the week. We're just going to run through the games. We are in that last stretch. This is the last week of NBA games before the play-ins and then the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And everything is riding on these last few games. A lot was riding on these last few games that the Knicks just played. And let's talk about what happened starting off against the game where the Knicks played the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oklahoma City Thunder came to New York, play at MSG. SGA was out a few games with, a sore hamstring or something like that. He comes back for one game against the Knicks, typical fashion. And
hasn't played since, but let's keep it on this game.
And hasn't played since. But OKC, they was balling. Josh Giddey had himself a triple-double. SGA, he had like a slow start to the first half, but he got going in the second half. Jalen Brunson was playing out of his mind. Sorry, I don't know why I just stopped. He had 30 points this game, plus 17. He had 4 threes. Hartenstein had 17 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. This was a pretty nip and tuck game to go down the wire in the fourth quarter. Jalen Brunson. It was one of those games where at the end of the game, you questioning the referees again because he tied the game. Oh, no, he took the lead and took contact And the final play for the Knicks.
It wasn't the final play, but go ahead.
The final offensive play for the Knicks.
Nope, it was the second to last.
And he makes the layup, gets contact. Yep. The refs don't call it. Next play, for the final play for OKC, SGA gets out of bounds pass, turnaround mid-range over Miles McBride, hits the game winner.
Tough shot.
Brunson got a good shot off. You're right. That was last possession. Brunson got the same similar kind of shot that SGA got, but
it
rimmed out.
It was kind of similar. The location is so important.
Yeah.
Because SGA shot is like, that's a tough shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see it going in, and it did. That Brunson shot, if it went in, I would have been shocked. I would have been happy. I'd have cried. I'd have done something.
You know what that shot reminded me of?
He was a lot closer to being behind the backboard from where he shot it than anything else. So it was like it hit the rim. It was on target. It just didn't go in.
It reminded me of that shot that he took. Remember when Phoenix came to the Garden and it was just Devin Booker?
Mm-hmm.
And he hit that tough shot over RJ Barrett and I believe one other person. And then on the very last play, Jalen Brunson had a turnaround shot from like damn near half court and it damn near went in.
Mm-hmm.
It had the same feeling. Like I felt like both of those shots looked like they were long shots, but they almost went in. And I'm like, if those would have went in, that'd have been crazy. And sidebar, just because we didn't put it on the notes, he won player of the month this year. I mean, this month.
I forgot all about that. That's why it's not in there. Because I mean, at this point, it's kind of like, you know, damn, y'all been snubbing him for player of the week mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And it's like, well, damn, finally you give him his accolades, his credits. Yep.
He's hooping for March.
He obviously deserves it. He's not getting enough recognition for what he's done. He is. I don't remember where he is as far as the leading scorers in the NBA, but he's either top five, top four, anything like that. He's one of the few NBA superstars to be the clear focal point of the offense in the league, to score more than 60 points. And you look at these MVP ladders and he ain't on it. He's an honorable mention. Why? And you got guys who, you know, they may not even make the playoffs.
Right.
And you got them up there in this list. You got guys who, you know, they could go to the play-in and get knocked out. Meanwhile, the Knicks are firmly in the top five, right? Does that mean that they're, I mean, we'll talk about that later. Maybe they'll end up in the same seating as some of the guys that are here. Probably not, though. And the Knicks have not been there all season. Meanwhile, these other guys have been up and down all season. How is he not in the top 10 in MVP? How is he not number five? Yeah.
I see a little bias just because they household names that's been doing this for a few years. Brunson's still kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
He was snubbed from All-NBA and All-Star last year. Now he got All-Star
consistently
considerations. I feel like he's definitely going to be All-NBA because remember we were talking about how many player of the weeks does he need in order to get some All-NBA consideration, and he's won player of the month as well as player of the week multiple times. He's got to have at least second team all NBA locked up at this point. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think all NBA is a question, but I don't understand the MVP voting. Like, he lost his second guy and the Knicks are, you know, fighting. They could realistically get two. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Right? But they're there. You know, they're clearly one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. And it's because of him.
Yeah.
You know, it's because of him. Yes, the rest of the team is really good and all of that stuff, but there's no question that Jalen Brunson has this team on his shoulders. So I guess I kind of lied earlier because that you could call that the next topic of the week of how Jalen Brunson got snubbed. Did we say who what the final score was for this game?
Yeah, then Thunder won this game 113-112. The Thunder clinched their first playoff berth in I don't remember how long. I guess since KD left.
Probably.
But, do you have any takeaways from this game?
I just, you know, last time we talked, I said that if SGA is not playing, then I think we got a shot. And lo and behold, SGA played.
And we still had a shot.
I knew it was going to be close. No SGA, no OG. You know, it's going to be a tough game. And it definitely was a tough game. It came down to the last possession. Maybe it should have gone into overtime. I thought it was clear that Brunson was fouled on his second-to-last shot attempt. You looked at the last 2 minute report. The referee said it was incidental contact. And I'm like, you guys have to explain what a foul is at this point. He clearly had contact below the waist that altered his release.
Just say that fouls don't count the same for the Knicks as they do for other teams.
I'm sure this is something that you're going to be talking about later on in this episode.
But I've been pissed off, but you know, not to.
I thought it was going to be close. I wouldn't have been surprised if the Thunder won. Thunder won. So I did have the Knicks winning, but that was with the assumption that SGA wouldn't play, and he did play, and the Knicks did what they always do and what they continue to do against all of the teams they've played in these last stretch of games, including the next one against the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. Knicks went to Miami in the Kaseya Center on April 2nd. And I did preview last, or I did know last week when we were talking about it, that the Heat should be coming in a lot healthier than they had been. They'd been losing some games that maybe they shouldn't have lost, mm-hmm. but they were also missing players that they have been counting on. And they got some of those guys back. And I mean, we didn't think that the Knicks would lose three in a row. Or rather, you didn't think that. I thought it was a possibility.
They got Mitch back this game too.
Yes, they did. But Mitch, it was only one game. Like, I figured if he was going to miss one game, he'd be back for the next one. This was the game. Even with that, though, the Knicks have been exerting a lot of energy. And you would have hoped that the Heat did not come back as healthy as they came back home against this Knicks team, because now they have some guys that are fresh. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, all our guys ain't fresh, you know, and you got Mitchell Robinson trying to, you know, he definitely needs to ramp up. He ain't like OG Anunoby, OG comes back. All right, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to play defense. Even if I'm not hitting my shot, I'm going to help you win games. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Robinson does need a little bit of conditioning in game, which is why he's on a minutes restriction. And this is not the game that you want to play against the Miami Heat, who are finally starting to feel more whole, and we are running on fumes. Mm-hmm. And you could see that in this game. I'm not going to go into it. There was a lot of scary Terry going off in ways that he had not really gone off in some of the games that I've looked at earlier in the season with the Miami Heat. He was doing that before when he was in Charlotte, but he wasn't looking like that. I'm like, oh, let me see how Terry's like. Oh, he only scored 7 points. Oh, let me see how Terry's doing. Yeah, he ain't really doing nothing today. Okay.
He wanted to see it. He showed you.
Picked and chose. I was going, I don't think we have to worry about Terry Rozier. Psych. No, we had to worry about him. He was going off. It made it very difficult for the Knicks. The Heat went up by a lot early. Knicks did what they always do, which is why you have to love this team. They can go down by 10, 20, 15, whatever. They are going to make a run. They are going to tie the game. They may even take the lead, and they will threaten to win the game. Mm-hmm. And they did that against the Heat, albeit I didn't think that it was. I thought that once they tied it up, it was going to be, listen, you got to go up 4, 5, 6, 7. You got to go up by more than a few points. And they couldn't do that. The Heat retook the lead, never gave it up. Heat won 109-99. I was worried that the Heat would be healthy enough. I was worried the Knicks were going to be running on fumes. And I was worried that this could be a loss. And that's what it ended up being. This was always going to be an uphill battle. We've seen the Knicks struggle and win through those types of things. But we're getting to the stretch where you gotta pull it out.
I'm just happy we made it out of a Miami Heat game without anyone's legs broken.
I'm happy about that, too.
No one got their collarbone broken, dislocated shoulders. Everyone left with all their teeth. No black eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to take what you could get.
No fractures.
Yeah, no, nothing.
No, pinky toes ripped off.
We still was able to keep Mitch. Like, come on, you know how they play. He was trying it, too. Like, bam, bam. Matter of fact, we probably going to face him in the playoffs, so let me not say too much.
Yeah, but let's not jinx us.
I don't have no huge takeaways from this game. I'm gonna keep it clean since my mother's in the studio today. I ain't going to yell out no expletives. So we're gonna just go on to this next game. How you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Let's go.
Next game at MSG. We were at this game to see the Sacramento Kings. We wanted to see them lose. So this was a tricky game. Mainly because, well, forget the game for a second. Before we even got to the game, hours before the game, it was announced that Julius Randle was going to have some shoulder surgery that was going to end his season.
Yep.
So I feel like with OG Anunoby coming back, he's going to have some games to get reacclimated into the offense. He's going to get some chemistry with Mitch. I think the Knicks are going to be not perfectly fine, but they're going to be able to still go on that run that we were expecting this offseason, even without Julius. You don't agree with that.
Well, we talked about this maybe 2-3 podcasts ago. There are parts to what you're saying that I agree with. And there, when you say stuff like, yeah, we can still do whatever we need to do without Julius. No, we can't. No, we can't.
Why not?
Can you mitigate some of what he brings? Absolutely. On some games, can you replace it with extra production from other players? Yes. You are still losing a 20-plus point, damn near 10-plus rebound, 5-assist player. And it is taxing to players to try to play above themselves in order to mitigate the loss of somebody else.
It's not playing above themselves if they're just getting more minutes. Like, Precious Achiuwa can mitigate the rebounding losses for Julius Randle. Miles McBride, he's going to be playing defense. They're going to be doing things that Julius Randle hasn't been doing. Josh Hart's been playing out of his mind. Like, I feel like with all that combination, with Dante DiVincenzo playing the way that he's playing, we can be fine. We can score enough points without Julius Randle, and we can still out-rebound teams the same way that we've been doing for the past few months.
What you're ignoring is that with that comes, people have a minute's limit to where once you get above that bar, the more times you get above that minute's threshold, the more tired you are going to be.
And that's what Bogey's for.
And at some, I didn't bring it up, but you know, I wasn't going to. But in that Oklahoma City Thunder game that you covered, Bogey had what, 5 points? Let me look at it right now. Yeah. 5 points for Bojan in 10 minutes. 5 points for Alec Burks in 10 minutes.
I understand singular games, but do you expect multiple games of 5 points from Bojan?
The point is you cannot expect, which is the point that you're making. Like, oh, that's what we got Bogey for. Okay, we can expect Bogey to do that. We know that he's going to show up
Bogey
in
scored.
Ways that we can that we can play him in these extra minutes so that these other guys don't get tired and we don't see a loss. The same thing that you're talking about, defense, that, okay, Miles McBride can replace. Mm-hmm. You put Bogey out there, that's gone.
It's not gone.
It's actually worse, actually. Like, he's not as good a defender as Julius Randle. So if you're trying to...
Julius Randle's not a great defender.
That makes what I just said, unless you're trying to say what I said is wrong, it makes even more sense for me saying what I'm saying. He's worse than Julius Randle. Julius Randle's not even... He's not even really an average defender most nights. Most mm-hmm. times he's bad. Mm-hmm. Can he be better? Yeah. Have we seen him play good defensively? Yeah. Bojan Bogdanović can't even do that.
Yeah, but it's not singular. You're not comparing Julius Randle to just Precious Achiuwa to just Bojan to just Miles McBride. Mm-hmm. It's a team effort that you're going to be collectively replacing the same effort that you got from Julius Randle and replacing the negatives that he would bring to the table as well.
I need you to... I understand what you're saying. And what I'm saying to you is, you're realistically speaking, it is very difficult to hold up that effort, that, you know, consistency, if everybody has to play up to replace, because you have to play up. You can't just say, oh, no, I'm not losing anything trying to replace Julius Randle, who scores 20 plus points, 10 plus rebounds, 5 rebounds, assists. Somebody has to play up. Somebody has to play better. And we can't expect Bojan Bogdanović to be consistently good. And if he's not consistently good, other guys have to play more minutes. We're seeing it now at the end stretch of this regular season, where guys are getting tired and they can't be consistent because of how tired they are. You're expecting too much out of these Knicks players to say that we can mitigate the loss of Julius Randle. Oh. If we have Julius Randle, do we lose all three of these games where we've lost to the Miami Heat, we lost to Oklahoma City Thunder, we lost to, are we losing all of those games? I don't think that we are if we have him. We lost one of these games, I'm sure, because guys were tired, because they were trying to hold up the offense, hold up the defense, playing more minutes, getting tired. We've seen it. We're watching these games and we're seeing these guys get tired. Now, this Knicks team is still very good. The point that I'm trying to make, and what I'm trying to get you to switch your phrasing, is that they are a better team with Julius Randle.
I didn't say that.
But that's why I'm trying to get you to switch your phrasing, because they're not going to go as far as they could without Julius Randle as they could with him.
We don't know that.
Because you're saying that, you're implying that they are fine with or without him. And that's not true.
How do we know that?
How do we know what?
It's not you, because you keep saying Bojan's not going to be able to be relied on. Like, it's not just a Bojan thing. It's a team aspect.
I agree with you.
If Bojan has one game where he scores 25 points in the playoffs and has every other game scores 8 to 10 points, like, he did his job. If everyone else in the team was able to contribute in every other game and we win a series based off of that, if we win a game of a series based off of one game from Bojan, he did his job and he did what we needed to mitigate the Julius Randle loss.
What I'm trying to tell you is,
how is that different from relying on Isaiah Hartenstein to be the starter?
What I'm trying to tell you is, you're right, it's a team thing. And the team is missing Julius Randle.
And has been missing him since January.
And the team is a better team with Julius Randle. This team, fully healthy, lost 2 games in January. They ain't do that since. with OG, without OG, doesn't matter. They're not the same team. They're not. They're going to still win a lot of games. They're still a very good team. You're not going to tell me that this team, that, oh, how do we know that this team is not going to be as good as they were with Julius Randle? And then at the same time say what you're saying. Like, those two things don't align. This is one of those things where you do have to pick and choose. Am I going to say it's impossible for the Knicks to make it to the finals? I'm not going to say it's impossible, right? But am I more likely to say that the Knicks can make the finals with Julius Randle than without him? Yes.
But I'm talking about Julius Randle with the bum shoulder. I'm not talking about a complete... obviously, if you have a completely healthy Julius Randle that you could drop on the team today, like, why wouldn't you take that? But I'm talking about if we would have had to bring him back...
That's an important distinction.
But that's what I said. That's what I said a few episodes ago. That was the distinction that I've always been making. If he comes back, he's going to have to play himself back into rhythm. He's going to have to get his shoulder right, be able to have to test it to see if he could take contact. I don't feel like we're making a big run. So that's going to be much different than the team that we have today.
All right, let's close this out. I will sum up what you just said succinctly to a point that we agree. This team is as good as, or could be better than, a team with Julius Randle playing hurt. Yes? Okay. We agree. All right. So Miami Heat, Knicks lost. Sorry, we had to get through that, guys. Knicks lose 109-99. I think we said all we needed to say. I think that this is another game. This, the Oklahoma City Thunder game, I think these are two games where even if you have a fully healthy Julius or OG Anunoby, the Knicks can win. They didn't.
Were you talking about Miami?
Both games, yeah.
Well, we already moved on to Sacramento. I was just saying We brought up Julius Randle because he had been before.
We are on Sacramento. I went back to the Oklahoma City Thunder to talk about Boyan. I'm like, oh no, that was two games ago. My bad. So yeah, Sacramento. Sorry, go ahead.
So we found out Julius Randle was going to miss the season. Garden energy was a little, down. So, you know, we had to get some footage of us, you know.
Yep.
A little behind the scenes. You're gonna see us give our reactions to the game live and all that type of stuff. It's going to be dropping sometime this week.
It's a special episode of the Knicks Take podcast where we're live in Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
Make sure you guys check that out. It's going to be a special episode. We don't know exactly when it's going to drop, but when it does, make sure you guys do the same thing that you do for all the other episodes. Make sure you comment. Let us know how you like it. Let us know if you want to see more of these episodes.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm not looking too crazy because...
You're only about as crazy as you do now.
That was an eventful night, but...
But it was a good night.
I called that the Knicks was going to win this game. Miles McBride would hit 5 threes.
Boldly. Do you want to tell everybody how you almost jinxed the Knicks and how it led to a 21-point deficit in the first half?
Knicks was down 21, and I was ready to call it. I was ready to just order 5 more drinks and just hope that the Knicks made a little run and possibly tied the game. But I had no faith because De'Aaron Fox was lighting us up.
You were thinking you were going to order 5 more drinks? Remember, people are going to watch the episode. But anyway,
De'Aaron Fox was wild in that game. He hitting pull up threes. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was going on with him. He just looked like he was a little miniature Steph Curry, and it seemed like that always happens anytime somebody comes to the Garden. It's always somebody that's going to light us up. Mm-hmm. But Jalen Brunson had 35 points this game, 11 assists. Josh Hart had the best game I felt like I've ever seen him play live. He had 31. He had 31 points. I believe he was close to a triple-double. He had 8 assists, 9 rebounds. Dante DiVincenzo had 21, 5 rebounds. This was just an all-around great performance from the second half on, I feel like. Mm-hmm. The third quarter, the Knicks really came out with intensity. Sabonis couldn't really get comfortable in that fourth quarter again.
Again.
Just like in the fourth quarter in Sacramento. Mitch was playing this game as well. He's still getting his legs under him, but he definitely dominated the rebounds when he was out there. That was the main takeaway that I saw when he came into the game.
He had like a rebound a minute when he first came in.
For sure. Bogey was balling out this game too. Like he provided a spark off the bench.
Yep.
He was hitting his threes. In person, he looks kind of like Kyle Anderson because he moves in slow motion and gets to his spots. And when he makes the shot, it looks good. But when he misses, he always like he's getting shit punched because he just don't have no type of athleticism. But this was just a great comeback. The Knicks made that run in the third quarter, extended the lead in the fourth, and this was pretty much the Knicks game to lose from that point on. Brunson hit a lot of big shots, and nobody on the Sacramento Kings really came to match the energy that they brought. So no huge takeaways from this game. The Knicks snapped their 3-game losing streak. And, yeah, Knicks win 120-109. What were your takeaways from this game?
My takeaways from the game. I believe I said most of them in this episode that this special episode you guys are going to see. You know, Knicks went down 21. I wasn't too concerned because we've seen it recently, right? They went down double figures. All right. They came out a little lackluster. And if they don't make a push in the third quarter, then I'll be worried. And after they make that push, I was like, all right, you're right there. You're back in the game. You need to go up by more than 4 points. You need to make it a 2. You need to make it a 3 possession game. And the Knicks did that. But up until that point, I was ready to call the jinx, I was ready to blame the loss on you.
But still, every game that I've been to, the Knicks have won this season.
Yeah, so which you proudly proclaimed before the game.
Seasons in a row.
To all of your closest friends, encourage them to engage in some things that our mother doesn't support.
I don't know what you're talking about.
on the FanDuel and stuff like that. But anyway, I was ready to blame it on you, but Once we got back in it, I was like, oh yeah, if they can get up to 5 points, we got this. And the Knicks actually, you said it in game. The Knicks went down 20 and are about to win by 20. I was like, oh, you know, we're pulling the guys out now, so I don't think they're going to get to 20. But yes, that is quite the swing. So Bulls, yeah,
great. Pulling guys out, that's quite the swing.
you've been reaching.
Go ahead, man.
Like, let's not talk about how you was on your Diddy last week. But anyway.
I don't know what's going on.
yeah, exactly. I didn't know what was going on not last week, but the last time we potted. I didn't know what that was about. I think, was that last week? I don't remember. I think it was last week.
Chicago Bulls, United
you
Center.
You was, yeah. Chicago Bulls, yes. Knicks at Chicago at the United Center on April 5th. This was the second half of a back-to-back, which, it was last week. I said last week, yeah, this is the second half of a back-to-back. I can see the Knicks losing this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. We had to leave the Garden, fly to Chicago after a game.
It's not a long flight.
Chicago was very well rested.
Yeah, they were.
And, yeah. It's not like we blew out the Kings in the first three quarters and had the whole fourth quarter to rest. No, it was pretty close up until the last 5 minutes. And the Knicks came out. They kept it kind of close.
Well,
and
Chicago got the lead out pretty early. They were up 29.
Hold on. Before we get to that.
All right, my fault.
We had a pleasant surprise.
Okay. Yeah.
OG Anunoby returned.
Cleared. Yeah.
Returned. From his elbow tendinopathy. He was good to go.
His elbow what?
AKA Obi-Wan Kenobi, according to some people over here. We saw that. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe we can get this. We got an extra body. We got that extra body that we need. Maybe some guys don't have to play as much.
You said his elbow what?
Tendinopathy. What did you
say? Just wanted to make sure you said you could say it again.
Yes, I can say it because I know it. and that's what I was thinking. And the refs were like, this is a little too fair for you, New York Knicks. We're going to let me just say what it was. Josh Hart drove to the basket, was fouled. It wasn't called. He, in an attempt to regain the ball that was stripped from his hands. Pause. He put his foot out and he reached down. And unfortunately, he lifted his leg up so high that it hit Javonte Green in the head. And the referees reviewed and said, yeah, this is a flagrant 2 because of excessive foot-to-head contact. To which I said, I mean, it didn't look like he was really trying to kick him in the head. It looked like he was trying to regain possession of the ball. Javonte Green's head was pretty far down when he went to get the basketball. He kept it down there for a pretty long time. Pause. And yeah, I think it was unintentional. I think if it was intentional, sure, throw him out. You could have given, I think he earned a flagrant 1, clearly. Flagrant 2 just seemed like they wanted to get Josh Hart out of the game, and the Knicks were now back to being undermanned, shorthanded, and they were down 10 at that point when that happened, and not long after that, they were down 20, and it's another game where the Knicks are playing from behind, undermanned, tired. Second game of a back-to-back. And on top of that, the Bulls had Javonte Green having the game of his career. He was out there hooping. Extra O's in there.
Hooping. And Ayo.
Well, I was going to get to that. Ayo Dosunmu was hitting every three-pointer that he could find.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting from all over. I was like, yo, I know that he's had a good season this year, but I haven't seen anything to say that he is like that, hitting all those threes. He also had a career game. And even despite all of those things, the Knicks do what the Knicks do, right? What do the Knicks do? Even when they're down, second half, they make it, they get it close, to get it down to within five, get it to 4 points mm-hmm. in the third quarter. But when you do that game after game after game after game, and now you have to do it. They just did that the night before against the Sacramento Kings. I had no faith that they would be able to tie this game in the second half, missing Josh Hart. Like, if they had Josh Hart, I was like, maybe they can do it. Maybe, you know, you got that guy out there. Instead, what ended up happening was you have more minutes for Bojan Bogdanović, and I'm sorry, that's just not going to get it done. He's not the defender that you need him to be. He's not the rebounder you need him to be. He's not the passer you need him to be. All of those things are Josh Hart.
Why are you focusing on Bojan? He only played 20 minutes, 19 from Precious. He had zero. Yes. McBride played 38 off the bench, had 19. It ain't just Bojan.
I didn't say it was just Bojan. What I'm saying is you put Josh Hart in those Bojan Bogdanović minutes. You say he only played 20 minutes. That was about 10 minutes too many.
What about Precious?
What about Precious?
Precious is the power forward. He's more mm-hmm. similar to what Josh Hart would provide.
Yes.
Why is it just Bojan that we're focusing on?
Because Bojan is supposed to be, he's supposed to provide something offensively more than what he does. He finished the night with 9 points. We didn't bring him over here to score less than double digits on a 20-minute per game, schedule. Like, he's supposed to do more than what he's doing. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he comes out. And listen, Precious wasn't even supposed to be part of this rotation, honestly. He's part of the rotation because of what he's done. So that's why he gets the break and Bojan doesn't. I'm not saying that Precious, I wasn't going to absolve Precious of blame either. He finished with 0 points, right? I'm not saying he had a good game, but he also had to play more minutes because of Josh Hart being out. That's the point that I'm trying to make. We needed Josh Hart to play the amount of minutes that he normally plays so that he can he may not have even had a good game. He started off 0 for 2 in his 11 minutes. He only had one rebound. Maybe he wasn't going to have it that night. But I would feel better if I had Josh Hart at the end of games to make those plays. He's our garbage guy. He's our guy who goes out there, dives at loose balls, gets all the rebounds. He's 6'4", out-rebounding guys who are 7 feet. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, he's the guy who, like, you need to make that push and you need that guy to put out that energy even when he's tired or whatever. He's the guy who goes out there and does those things. And we didn't have that guy when we needed him when we got it to within 4 points. And instead, we have a guy who can't move like that, can't rebound like that. The thing that you need him to do is to score at an outrageous level, and he didn't do that. And you got Precious Achiuwa, who any good thing good he gives you, you know, it's gravy. But those two guys are not replacing what Josh Hart could bring on this night that we needed him to bring once we got it to that. Once we made that second half push, we needed Josh Hart out there. We didn't have him. And that's part of the reason why we lost this game.
We don't need outrageous offense from Bojan Bogdanović. We just need consistent shooting. And he's one of two players off the bench that hit a three. Mm-hmm. It's not like we need him to mitigate a Josh Hart loss. We had Mitchell Robinson also coming off the bench. We had Precious Achiuwa. We had more than enough guys who can mitigate that loss with the rebounding, with the defense. And this was just a game where guys just didn't have the energy. They didn't have the, like you said, it's the second end of a back-to-back. They on the road in Chicago. And the main guys that are killing you are Ayo Dosunmu and Javonte Green. Kobe White's one of the best scorers on Chicago. He had 2 points this game, only played 14 minutes. DeRozan was 8 for 18. He's the one who killed them, killed the Knicks last game. Like, sometimes you gotta chalk it up to what it is. Like, the game, the stats are gonna tell you the whole story.
I'm not saying
it ain't just. This guy couldn't score off the bench, and Josh Hart got thrown out, so there was no chance. I feel like it's more than that.
I already stated all the stuff about Ayo and about Javonte Green. And then all of the regular guys that we expect to play good, you know, mm-hmm. DeMar DeRozan, who else?
Kobe White.
Kobe White didn't have a good game. Kobe White had a very bad game. And Alex Caruso is who I was thinking of. Everybody else who played well. Like, the fact that they got great games from Ayo, great games from Javonte Green, that had so much to do with why the Bulls won this game. And if those guys just had their, if the, those guys had just a regular, their regular degular games, then, you know, the Knicks don't need a Josh Hart to win. They were playing outstanding. Like, they played, they played outstanding. Javonte Green was slamming dunks and doing everything that the Bulls needed him to do and more.
Yeah, we didn't even bring up Vucevic hitting 2 threes, 16 points, 13 rebounds,
Vucevic,
6 assists.
Vucevic, like, they more than made up. They more than made up for Kobe White having a bad game.
Yeah, they were motivated.
So they
haven't beat us all year. They came out to play and they in Chicago. They did not want to lose. Like, that's what it came down to.
My point is, you can't control how good the other team plays. You can control your team. Right, unless the ref kicks out one of your players, right? They were already shorthanded. They were already, you know, trying to get their wind and all of that stuff. They didn't need Josh Hart to be ejected from the game. Part of that, yes, we could say is on Josh Hart, but I don't think that deserved a flagrant one. And I do think that when you put Josh Hart in for more minutes, with the way that this game was played, I do think that those minutes that he would have played would have been taken from Boyan and would have been taken from Precious Achiuwa, and maybe you have a victory instead of a loss. Another thing I wanted to note before we move on, did you see that lob Jalen Brunson sent to Mitchell Robinson? It's good for the soul, people. Seeing Jalen Brunson throw up lobs to Mitchell Robinson, something that he wasn't really doing last year. Yeah, if we can get more of that, I think we're going to be all good for the playoffs. Anything that you want to say, French, before we move on?
No, we can move on to the week preview. We got 5 games coming up this week. The Knicks are going to be playing the Milwaukee Bucks April tonight, 7 o'clock at the Fiserv Farm Arena. Julius Randle is the only Knick that's listed as out. Giannis and Patrick Beverley for the Bucks are both listed as questionable. Mm-hmm. Bucks are currently on a 3-game losing streak. Let me see. They are second in the East right now. The Knicks, I feel like, have more to play for than the Milwaukee Bucks at the moment because... Because if Giannis and Patrick Beverley aren't playing, they not going to come out with the intensity, I don't feel like, because they already know they ain't going to have a chance.
I mean, I don't know if it's about intensity or not. This Bucks team cannot afford to have. I'm not even going to talk about Pat Bev. They just can't afford to be missing Giannis Antetokounmpo at this point. They've lost how many games?
They lost to the Wizards, the Grizzlies, and the Raptors before the Knicks coming to play them tonight.
Yeah, the Wizards, somebody calls them the Lizards because they can't find a win. But they found one against the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's probably because they were missing Damian Lillard for that game. Then the Bucks need
Lizards.
Both because they take L's.
That should have stayed in the drafts.
You obviously don't listen to Brian Windhorst's podcast. But yeah, the Bucks can't afford to have any games without Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. They need both of them. So they're hoping, and I'm trying to see if there's been any updates on him, but they're hoping that Giannis will at least play. If he does play, I think it's going to be a good game. The Knicks have OG Anunoby. The Knicks will hopefully have Josh Hart for a full game and he doesn't get ejected early. Knicks will, I'm going to refer to this team as close to fully healthy Knicks as possible.
Well, now we know what the team is. Randall's out, Mitch is in, OG's in. Now this is the team. We're fully healthy as of today.
Yes. We can't get any healthier because Julius ain't coming back.
Yeah.
So this is the quote unquote fully healthy New York Knicks team. They need this win. You said that the Bucks don't have anything to play for. The Bucks absolutely have stuff to play for. They are holding on to that 2 seed for dear life. Like, they ain't that far ahead of us. They only 2 games ahead of us. And if we beat them, they'll be 1 game ahead of us. So that means that they cannot afford, another 2 losses or whatever.
They should have played with that intensity for the Raptors and the Grizzlies. Don't play with that for us.
But again, they're dealing with issues, health issues. They're for the past week, I believe, they have missed one of Damian Lillard or Giannis. And they are not built to handle missing one of those two. So, yeah, I do think that the Bucks are going to come in with some sort of intensity because they want to hold on to that two seed. They don't want to fall. They do not want to fall. They don't want to be. Neither do the Knicks. The Knicks don't want to fall down to six. They don't want to fall down to. I said this to you before the podcast. If the Knicks lose out, there is a possibility that they could finish with the eighth seed. We don't expect it. We know this team is good enough. They would never allow themselves to do that. The Philadelphia 76ers got back Joel Embiid. They haven't lost since. You know, if they win out, they have the potential to rise up those standings. They don't have a hard schedule. So.
But that's the thing I'm saying. The Knicks, their backs are against the wall. They are still fighting for their playoff lives while the Bucks are still. They've been in the two seed all year. They probably.
Yeah, they're probably thinking. They're
looking at this like, there's four games left.
They're probably thinking the dear Lord that they're still in second because they probably shouldn't still be in second.
They're thinking the Cavs, dear Giannis.
They're thanking the Lord that the Cavs have a Donovan Mitchell, injury situation. The Knicks couldn't be healthy. The Orlando Magic, they're right there too. Right? They're tied with the Knicks with a 45-32 record. Bucks are 47-30. All of these teams can surpass the Milwaukee Bucks if they can get their winning ways back in order. So they need to get a win.
So what's your prediction?
The Knicks are going to win. That's my prediction. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I would not be surprised if the Knicks did not win because like the Bucks' backs are against the wall too. They haven't clinched anything. You know, the only team that's really clinched clinched in the Eastern Conference is the Boston Celtics. So, but that's my prediction. Next up,
you're not gonna ask me mine.
Oh, I thought it was pretty much assumed. You don't ever think the Knicks are gonna lose.
No, I think the Knicks are gonna lose this game though.
Oh, okay.
In Milwaukee, I think if Giannis is gonna come back, I don't think Giannis is gonna because they just lost three straight. I don't think Giannis is gonna sit out this game, especially if he's listed as questionable. Yeah, I think he's gonna come out and just try to get this win just to end the losing streak. Because they're going to play Boston right after us. They do play Boston after us. They play Boston and then Orlando, which is going to be another important game. And then OKC and then Orlando again. So, yeah.
So did I just argue your prediction and you argued mine?
Basically. Because I did think, I still feel like the Knicks have more to play for.
Yeah.
I want them to win. But I don't want to jinx them. I feel like the Kings game was a little warning. They gave me a warning shot like, yo, you keep predicting the wins, but relax. So I'm going to predict the Milwaukee Bucks loss, and you predict the win so we could go on to the next game, Chicago.
Correct. Okay. So the Knicks will be playing against the Chicago Bulls again.
In Chicago.
We just lost to them.
In Chicago.
This time, it will not be the second half of a back-to-back. Chicago and Milwaukee ain't that far apart, so they'll be pretty well rested. Mm-hmm. This is the fully healthy, quote unquote, New York Knicks. And the Knicks, I don't see a repeat effort. I think maybe Coby White will step back up. I don't see Io. I don't see Javonte Green. I don't see, who's the third one?
Vucevic.
I don't see Vuce. Doing all three of them, maybe two, maybe one. I don't see all three of them doing what they did the first time. And I don't see Josh Hart getting ejected, which means that I think that the Knicks are going to win. Bulls are still playing for something, too. You know what they're playing for?
Playing.
But they're playing for home court in the play-in, which, if you got to win two games, I'd rather the first game be at home. Mm-hmm. So if they can beat the Atlanta Hawks at home, at the United Center, if they can beat the Atlanta Hawks, then they have a chance to make it into the playoffs as an 8 seed. So that's what they're playing for. What do you think?
I think the Knicks always take a team like Chicago at least one time, like for play.
They already did that.
They did that with Detroit earlier in the year. And then you saw when they played Detroit again, what happened to them? 40-point loss.
It was a different Detroit team, but yeah, they didn't want to play.
I envisioned the same thing happening to Chicago. They played with their food. The first time it was on the back end of a back-to-back. This time it's going to be two games after the Milwaukee game. I think the Milwaukee team is going to beat the Knicks. They're not going to want to lose again. They're going to beat up on Chicago because they know Boston's coming right up after that. So I think the Knicks are going to win this game.
So do I. So what's next?
You just like I just said, the Knicks are going to go to the TD Garden in Boston to face off against the Celtics, who are currently on a four-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. Last game was against the Kings. They listed Derek White and Jaylen Brown as inactive.
Yep.
I think since they already clinched the top spot in the Eastern Conference, they got to 60 wins. I believe they're going to be the only team this NBA season that's going to have 60 wins. Because the next team up is Denver, 54-24, and I believe there's only five games left to the season. Four games left. So, yeah, the Boston Celtics are going to be the only team with 60 wins, which means they're going to be resting Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, Drew Holiday, in my opinion.
I mean,
if not all of them, at least a combination of at least two to three of them. This game is going to be a win for the Knicks. I think that Celtics have nothing to play for. They just want to keep their guys healthy for the playoffs, since it's going to start up in a few weeks. So, yeah, that's my prediction. What you think?
Well, I told you before that I wanted to see what they do. And what they have done is they've made only two of their starters inactive, which I think that's going to be their play for the rest of the season. I don't think that they're going to completely give up on winning games for the rest of the year. I just think that they're going to pick and choose. All right, this game we're going to give these two players rest. This game we're going to play, we're going to let these two guys get some rest. And they can still win games missing two of their starters. They're definitely a different team when they're missing two. Like, don't get it twisted. And they're definitely beatable once they're missing two guys. With that being said, I think it's still going to be a tough game, right? If they sat three guys, Knicks win all day. Two, that's a little trickier. They don't have a guy to bully them in the inside like Julius Randle. The Knicks don't. And they've had problems with Kristaps Porzingis all season.
What if he's...
And if he's playing, it's going to be difficult. If he's not playing, though, you know, it's a different story.
Well, let me ask you this.
And the uncertainty of knowing who the Knicks are going to play against that night against Boston, I'm just going to say the Knicks are going to lose, and that may be the only loss they have this week.
What if Porzingis and Tatum were sitting out?
I think the Knicks win. But there's no way to know for sure. They could, because they sat Brown and Williams, I think they're going to keep Kristaps Porzingis for this game, which means I think he's going to rest some other game, not this one. I think they like Porzingis against us. I think they're going to make sure Porzingis plays, which just leaves Tatum. And that's the part that I'm a little more shaky on. Knicks have OG Anunoby they could put on Tatum. But again, it's hard. If they have both Brown and Tatum playing, I like Boston.
Even if they have no
one of them, that's a different story.
If they have no Tatum, I mean, no Drew Holiday and no Porzingis, you still think that?
Listen, man, we could go through all of the different combinations the Boston Celtics could have. I'm going to just call it the loss because I don't know. I don't know. If they have Brown, Tatum, Porzingis, I don't think the Knicks win. If they're missing Porzingis, and you know, if they're missing Porzingis, that makes things a little bit different for me. I think Porzingis is the key against the Knicks. So I'm going to move on to the next game unless you have something you want to say about that. Knicks versus the Brooklyn Nets. That is going to be the second half of a back-to-back. This is also part of the reason why I called the loss for the Boston Celtics, because partially I don't think that they're going to win both of these games. I think they're going to split them. It will be in the Garden. which is point for the Knicks as opposed to being in Boston. Brooklyn's been playing really good basketball lately. I think it'll be more beneficial for the Knicks to gear up for that Brooklyn Nets game than it is to gear up for the Boston Celtics game. Beating Boston doesn't really change anything. Beating Brooklyn doesn't really change anything. So if they're going to pick one, the easier one would be against the Brooklyn Nets, who are 500 in their last 10 games and won their last two.
I don't feel like that's how they approach games. They try to win every game.
It's definitely not how they approach games. They're going to try to win every game. But if the powers that be want to finagle some stuff, hey, let's let OG Anunoby rest against the Boston Celtics. I wouldn't be surprised at that.
I don't see that. I see them. I see everybody playing the rest of the year, probably except for Brunson, that last Chicago game.
You got to give guys some rest.
I mean, OG's been resting for months now.
Yeah. But
there's not many other guys that you need to prioritize rest for.
Let me just say this. If you knew that OG Anunoby was going to have an elbow flare up if he plays two games back to back, are you going to make him play against the Boston Celtics? Or are you going to rest him for the Boston Celtics and let him play against the Brooklyn Nets and let him guard up Mikal Bridges?
I thought they decided to wait until that's not even an option for like the elbow flare up. Like they wanted to bring him back so that he can stay, so that he's not coming in out of the rotation.
Right, but you cannot guarantee anything when it comes to stuff like that. So I would not be surprised if the doctor said, let him rest that first game so that he's not out for the second game with a flare up. That's what I'm thinking. But anyway, Knicks are going to win. I don't expect the close to full health, a.k.a. the full health New York Knicks, to lose to the little brother Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, and the next game is going to be at MSG as prediction? Well. Oh, I didn't even think I needed to give a prediction for that one before. Okay. but yeah, Knicks is going to win. If you haven't noticed, the Knicks have not lost in my prediction since Milwaukee. I predict that trend to just continue to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, I don't think they have a chance to end the game, end the season off against the Knicks at home.
Final game of the season, of the NBA season, against the Chicago Bulls in the Garden.
Yeah, the Knicks aren't going to lose in front of their home crowd to end the year to start the playoffs. I don't see that being an option. What about you?
I just realized that I told you should record during this game, and yet we have tickets to that game.
Yeah.
I just remembered that. But, yeah, I don't think the Knicks are going to lose. We lost recently to the Bulls. Like, within the last 2 weeks of the season, the Knicks are playing the Bulls three times.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think the Knicks are going to lose two times out of three to the ninth place Chicago Bulls?
Mm-mm. Who are still under 500.
Not when they are fully healthy, quote unquote. And this is going to be this could potentially be an important game for the Knicks. You know, we have no idea how things are going to play out, whether our predictions are right, whether they're wrong. If our predictions are wrong as far as how many times they win, we both have said that they're going to lose one game this week. If we are wrong about that and they lose more than one game, then this game is going to be super important. If we are wrong and the Knicks win all their games this week, then we could probably skip this one. But I still think that the Knicks are going to win. I'm not worried about it. And, yeah, that's it. That's all we got.
Knicks are going to get to 49 wins at least, hopefully.
I would love for them to get to 50, but that's a tall, tall task.
They'd have to go 5-0 this week.
Yes. All right. You got anything you want to leave our viewers and listeners with, French?
Man, we left y'all with an hour podcast. Y'all better be happy with that. We'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace, y'all. The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo, I can't lose. No, I can't lose.